Let's start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your presence with us. God, that you have not left us, God, to our own devices, but that you seek us out. You seek to teach us, to love us, God, to cover us. God, we thank you for just all the ways, God, that you are taking care of us and shaping us and molding us, not allowing us to waste our lives in this world. So God, I would pray that you would just set our gaze, God, upon your face, that you would shine upon us, and that we would gaze at your beauty, God, and that your radiant glory would cover this place. God, in Jesus' name, amen. So we're on 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we talked about, I think, last week about what it is to glorify God and God's purpose for our lives here. And so we dove into, right, the very definition of the gospel and how the gospel, in the very word atonement, right, we have, which really is just an aggregation of the word at-one-ment, right? It is about oneness, right? It is about, it's the good news of how God is prepared a way so that we could be one with him. And as we looked at through scripture, the good news isn't just that God made a way for us to be one with him, but that God has made a way for us to be one with one another. So we're not talking about the way that the world understands friendships and relationships. We're talking about a way, a kind of oneness that's very Trinitarian. So God's command for us is to be one in a way that we're going to be one with him and that they are inseparable. So let's just go back and do some review on, let's just define this idea, what it is to glorify God, because we have to define glory. So let's take a look at Isaiah 6:3. I talked about this last week. The angel in the throne of God is crying out this: "Holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." So God is holy, and scripture defines his holiness as his uncommonness, as his worthiness. And so we looked at how God is expensive. That sense that he is priceless, that sense that he is expensive and of the utmost quality and, you know, cut apart from the rest, those are definitions of God's holiness, right? So now we're understanding when he loves in the most expensive way. And that's why when we get, as parents, we try to love, we bemoan the fact that we can't love our kids more and things like that. I mean, we get a sense. We're created in his image, right? If, you know, we went, you know, out to eat, you know, it was Alan's birthday yesterday. And, you know, and we just, you know, I was just thinking about, you know, where we're going to go. And, you know, I just, you know, Ellen's very special to me. And so I want her to feel special. And so, you know, I'm thinking about, okay, well, you know, I mean, I've read some article, like, just, I don't know, a while ago about, like, how some restaurants you can take the dog with you, you know? Like, okay, more dog story. All right. And so I was like, okay, so we called and said, hey, can we, like, bring a dog, you know, because we're going to eat outside. The reservation is outside. And, you know, like, yes, we can bring a dog. And unbeknownst to us, those extra, like, you know, steps, you know, not just the dog, but then we, you know, hey, let's go and eat, like, sushi. That's, like, a real, you know, special place. And then there happened to be, like, this live music thing going on because, you know, Vienna had this Oktoberfest. And so we're like, it was just like this perfect weather, you know, great song. And, you know, it's like, this is very fitting, very special, you know, in a way that when you love somebody, you know, you want to do something special. You know, we invited Diana and Chung to come with us last night and they didn't come. So, you know, they missed out. But, you know, like, you know, when you say something, you know, when you want to do something special, and it's special, you go, wow, this is just really awesome because you love them and you want to do special things for them. Well, that's just, where do we get that? Like, if you're an atheist, you know, like, if you don't believe in God or if you don't believe in a loving God, like, you have to, and then even loving, like, why does it have to be, like, like over the top. Well, that sense of it is the God, holiness of God. And God's, and the angels are saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The earth is full of what? His holiness? No. The radiance of that specialness is called glory. So the glory of God is how the emanation of the specialness of God. So when God loves, he can't but love in that way. So when Jesus says, a new commandment I give you, love one another. But what does he say? Just as I have loved you. What is he saying? He's saying, love one another in that holy way. Right? That's how they're going to know that you're my disciples. Not 50-50, one way. The early church, I think, understood that because they were like, oh, man, this is like hard. Like, oh, I'm going to have to sell stuff and, you know, become one. And, wow, then Ananias, Sapphira, there's a lot of pressure, so I'm going to lie. And then they get killed. I mean, this is like, you know, like the Bible stories are difficult. But God's serious about this idea of atonement, this at-one-ment. So if you've never heard that the gospel, right, is about not just our oneness with God, but our oneness with one another, right? Right? And so, like, through that lens, I want you to see, okay, how serious God is about his glory, right? Because it is the emanation of that. So when you say what it is to glorify God, right, it is like taking a telescope to God and magnifying God. We're not making God out to be bigger than he is, because we're not. When you take a telescope, you're not making Saturn bigger than it is. You're just helping others to see Saturn. Whereas if you're glorifying man, all you're doing is taking a microscope. You're making something bigger than it is. And so God defines, right, unbelief as wanting the glory of man more than the glory of God. Right? How can they believe? So John 17, and so this is right before the cross. We saw this last week. Jesus prays to the Father right before it was the cross, and this is, you know, this is why this is the gospel. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. This is us now. Jesus is praying for us before he goes to the cross, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become, what? Perfectly one. Like, it takes the blood of Christ, right, to have this family. And Christ went to die, right, to make that happen. And he's so serious about this one-ment, this atonement, this kind of relationship. He says in Matthew 5:23, so if you're offering your gift at the altar and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. And so there is, you know, it's just this intensity that God has. Like, I don't even want you to think that like we're like mano el mano, and then people, like, you know, we're like, yeah, it's like hard, and like I'll just, like, you know, don't expect much from people, and I just, you know, like, God's like, no, that's not gonna happen. Like, don't even come here. Like, that's not why I sent my son to die for you, so you can have that kind of attitude. Like, you're gonna die trying to live that life. I sent my son to die so you can have that kind of relationship. So that it will be together one in Christ. We're not just talking about family, because that's, you know what I'm saying? The specialness of God extends beyond the natural. So that idea of one-ment, that atonement, is in 1 John as well. It says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. That word is koinonia. It means partnership, like in the fellowship of the rings. So we have a fellowship of the cross, right? If we walk with God, if we walk with God but don't have fellowship with one another, if we're not one together, but disparate, you know, like it's not taking kind of thing, loose association, that's what this is not talking about. It's not a loose association. Church is not a loose. If you that's not the gospel. And if you do, then and so the idea is, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. So there is an atonement idea in Scripture. We live and we will die for this idea. So in the back of our minds, if it was kind of important, I want us to see, and taking the blinders off, that glorifying God is to reflect, right? So when we talk about that, right, the radiance of his glory. Paul was blinded by the glory of God. He was blinded by the fact that God was so special. The word is doxa, right, where we get doxology, the words of glory. Paul was blinded by the doxa of Christ. You know, I was actually reading about diamonds, right? How many people like diamonds? Woo-hoo. You know, like, you know, like there's some girls, and, you know, I don't know. All right. I was reading about, like, they theorize that they make diamonds. They don't know for sure because they can't, you know, create nature back, you know, for however, you know, since creation. But, like, carbon dioxide, you know, is trapped under the earth, like, 100 miles beneath the earth. And then, like, it gets, like, super, super heated, like, under this great amount of pressure. And then it's, like, and then it all of a sudden somehow, like, through some volcanic eruption, like, comes to the surface and creates, like, you know, diamonds. So, you know, God might have created diamonds, you know, when God created the earth. There's another path. Like, you can, like, same, so carbon, right? It's carbon-based, right? Diamond is just carbon, right? In a, like, you know, arrayed in a very special way. The other thing it can create is coal, right? And, like, coal is carbon, right? It's very carbon-based, and so you have carbon, and then special things happen, and you get oil, and then you get coal. You can get diamonds, or you can get coal. And coal gives off light. How does it give off light? It gives off life if you burn it. And if you burn coal, what does it turn into? Bunch of ashes. And hence is like a reflective of kind of the life of man. Right? Diamond, it gives off light. You can't burn it, right? It's not like, oh, hey, anybody got coal? No, but we got some of this other carbon. It's diamond. Hey, take it off your, you know, finger and just throw it into the fire. Like, we don't do that, right? Because it's precious, it's rare, and the only way it'll give off light is what? If it, how it reflects that light, right? And it glorifies, right, the very source of that light, right? Because it reflects it. And the way that it reflects is the brilliance. And so that, two different things. And so therein lies, you know, two different ideas of what it is to glorify God. You know, are you a coal burner? Or are you a reflector? All right, so let's continue to read because, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 23. So with that in mind, let's read. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of the other. For why should my liberty be determined by someone else's conscience? So whether you eat or drink, so whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So this is, like, there is this idea now that Paul is introducing is the restriction of somebody's liberties, right, is going to now somehow reflect the glory of God. So whatever we do, right, if you do it all, particularly the context here, right, Robert talked about, right, dog. Like, you know, I look for, and this is like a point of contention between Ellen and I, you know, because I need to train the dog in these various contexts, but I need to go to those places, and to train dogs, right, in those places causes a scene. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can't train a dog in those contexts without causing a scene. But if you want to train the dog, you got to go to those places that causes a scene. I got to open the door, the dog's got to get out, you know, and then I got to, like, you know, discipline it for getting out. And then everybody's like, oh, you know, there's a little frantic panic, you know. And so, you know, like, it's, like, difficult. But whatever you do in this context, Paul is highlighting the fact that restriction of our liberties, our freedoms, is what's going to, right, give glory to God. And when we read that, I was like, well, I mean, like, why should my liberties be, you know, like, restricted and limited? And, you know, something gets triggered in us when talks like that happen. Okay? So we look, take a look at this picture. Anybody know what that is? These are like statues like throughout the world. What is that? Come on, Jane. Okay, well, it's Lady Justice. I don't know why it's a lady. Like, there's no man justice or something, you know? Like, it's always Lady Justice, right? But anytime we talk about, like, you know, like something about, right, oppression, like restricting liberties, right, it raises something else. That's unjust, right? A lot of Christian ministries, like, you know, like we have International Justice Mission, you know, we're talking about like human trafficking. Like, we realize if there is oppression, like something about that is wrong. Like, those scales get tilted. And you feel like you have to come along and go, hey, we got to write that. Write that scale. Matter of fact, C.S. Lewis says this in Mere Christianity. He says, my argument against God was that, this is before he became a Christian, right? My argument against God was that the universe seems so cruel and unjust. But how had I gotten this idea of just and unjust? A man does not call a line crooked unless he has some idea of a straight line. A man feels wet when he falls into water because man is not a water animal. A fish would not feel wet, right? And so there is this sense of justice that we have when we talk about liberty. But if let's just take a labor, like a, you know, labor camp. Let's say I was a slave, right? And like, you were a slave for a year, right? And after that year period, they say, hey, you know, you cracked those stones, you didn't eat where you should eat, you know, you stayed cooped up, you couldn't leave the compound, but here's $1 trillion for your effort. I mean, well, that is our justice system. Like, there's a wrong, and then we try to, like, either by punishing somebody or compensating the victim, right? And so we try to balance that scale. So, but if I asked you, would you go to labor camp, right? Like, you know, involuntarily, you go, no, that would be wrong. But if I said, hey, if you go to labor camp, right, when you leave, I'll give you $1 billion. Would you go? I don't know. A lot of people here would probably go, right? I met a lot of guys when I was in Afghanistan serving over there, a lot of contractors, right? I mean, like, and I had one guy, he actually ended up being a congressman. I'm not going to mention his name, right? But he was a friend of mine from Korea. And I was like, what are you doing here, man? Like, or, like, you know. And he was like, you know, like, I was about to take brigade command. And, you know, I was about to do some things. And, you know, and this opportunity came up. And, you know, now, like, when I finished this tour, it was like, I forgot how long it was. He says, I'm going to get out of here, finally, right? I'm going to pay off all my debt. You know, I'm going to own my house outright. You know, and he's going to be financially secure, he said. Oh. Like, so you would go into, like, a war-torn territory, stay in this compound, get cooped up, right, leave a pretty prestigious job, and voluntarily, like, essentially be in, like, some kind of labor camp. And he was like, yeah. And he's like, as a, you know, and then later on, then he, you know, having made his, you know, small fortune, you know, he went and became a politician. But the idea of it is there, right? Like, that kind of thing requires a balancing. Like, if someone forced him to do that, man, we would cry out, right? And so there is this sense, right? Right, in the justice of things, that we have to balance the scale. Now, what does that have to do with glory of God? Well, let's take a look. All right, so forgiven debt. So we'll call that debt. When you tip the balance, we call that debt. And debt is, okay, like tilted a couple ways. There's sin, Scripture talks about, right, that tilts that balance, and work tilts that balance. It creates debt, and it is the mystery. So let's take a look at 1 Peter 1:17. If you call on him as Father who judges impartially, so we're talking about God, right? He is God justice. According to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed So now there is the word, right? God uses, all right? This is Jesus coming to now right the balance. From the futile was inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. So the blood of Christ, right, is the balancing force, right, in that debt creation. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us all to redeem us, that's the same word, ransom, right, from all lawlessness. And we know from Scripture that lawlessness is sin. So Jesus is, in a say, paying, providing compensation for our debt, because sin is looked upon as debt. And we'll see how Jesus frames that later. To purify himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Oh, interesting. So keep that in mind. So ransom for good works. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now, in this here, Jesus is saying that in the way that he is serving and working and doing good things, right, that is ransom. He is paying, right, through his service, right, serving as a ransom. And then, so there's idea that forgiving debt, and then he calls us to go around in forgiving debt. So we're forgiven our debt, and then we're called upon to forgive others their debts. So it's kind of like the idea of, hey, you love because God first loved you, right? And the oldest covenant is, right, you know, even with, not the oldest, but the Old Testament covenant with Abraham is that I will bless you so that you may be a blessing. So there's a flow here, okay, as Scripture talks about, in the way that I receive and reflect back out. And if you understand, right, that's exactly what a diamond is. I receive, and then I give it back out. That radiance, okay, that is the reflection of God, right? Now, if you don't receive and you're giving out, you're just burning coal. But in the way that you receive, okay, and the way that you go out, okay, is how we glorify God. All right, so we have this idea of sin, and so in the way that we love one another, we're going to really rub each other the wrong way. And so how we do that, how we tap into the love and the forgiveness of God, and how we now are able to forgive others, defines you as a believer. So if you have, okay, unresolved, you know, like forgiveness issues, there's good news. If you're a believer in Christ, okay, you will receive, that's the promise, okay, that you may then reflect out. Like if you're unable to forgive, you're unable to shine that spectrum of light, right? Let's call that the green light. If I can't reflect that light, and then we're not receiving. So over time, if you are like, and you die that way, what, I mean, that's so serious. That's what Jesus is saying. Like, this is serious. You're unable to reflect that. There's another way. Okay, we create, in a sense, debt, all right, and receive, again, this idea of giving out, is when we work, all right? So there's a parable about the parable of the workers, or the parable of the wages. Like, people come, they do work, and it creates a debt. Like, if I work for Hito, right, and say, hey, Hito, man, I'm going to come over, I'm going to, like, mow your lawn, right, your front lawn, right? And Hito goes, hey, look, I'll give you $25 to mow your front lawn. So I go, and I mow Hito's front lawn for $25. And he goes, hey, while you're at it, man, can you get my back, right, and the sides? I said, no problem. I'll get your back and your sides. I go and do the back and sides. Right? Now, coming away from it, I'm understanding that he was like, hey, look, all I got is $25 right now, Henry, right? You know, but that's all I got you, so like, let's just be cool about it, right? Like, you know, and then I'll be like, oh, okay, you know? Like, it creates this situation, right? I'm going to need more money, right? I'm going to need more money because I got the size in the back. Now, I love Hito, so I'm going to do it out of the kindness of my heart, right? All right? But now it requires something, of me to cover the side and the back. And so if I get, and so we have this balance in us, right? Like, what do you do when you go out to eat and somebody gets you, right? Oh man, look, I got it this time, man. You got me last time. That's what we, like those, the scale is there, right? Now, if your scale is broken, you probably don't have friends. You know, I got you last time, last 10 times, dude. Like, you know, like, at least reach for your wallet, dude. You know what I mean? Like, now, if they got, you know what I mean? Like, if they have a wallet. Like, some people don't have good wallets, you know, or they have leaky pants, and that's good, right? But the idea is, right, like, there's, people have that. And we would, like, we would look at somebody that don't have that sense of things, like, oh, man, that's, like, weird. Like, something's broken there. Like, you know, like, and, but as a Christian now, right, like, knowing that, it's not like when you become a Christian, that balance goes away. Trust you me, right? I mean, my balance was a little actually broken when I first got married, right? Ellen did the dishes, like for the 100th time, and, like, I wasn't even getting up. You know, like, some people, like, you know, when they, like, trying to help pay, oh, dude, like, let me, I got it, man, like, but the wallet's stuck, and you're like, oh, man, come on, man, like, I got it too, man, you know? It's like, okay, look, I don't have 30 minutes for you to take out your wallets. I'll pay for it this time. But, you know, like, you know, but I think over time you realize, like, in marriage, you know, like, that is a serious issue. Because, you know, you got this balance feeling. You feel imbalanced, you know? And then, of course, everybody takes it from their own vantage point. So everybody feels imbalanced from their vantage point. And so, like, they feel like you're like this. Like, I think I'm, like, I don't know, man. I think I'm more here. And then they're like, the other, you know, and the other spouse is like, oh, I don't know. I walk around like this, you know? But the whole idea is, right, this imbalance, right, has to be forgiven. And so we pick up this parable of the wages, right? This guy, right, he's going around, right, and, like, picking up workers to work in the vineyard. And he's like, hey, like, early in the morning, he says, hey, I'll pay you a denarii, come and work for me. At 9 o'clock, he says, I'll pay you a denarii, come and work for me. At noon, okay, at 3 o'clock and at 5 o'clock, right, come, I'll pay you a denarii. So at the end, right, His paying the dudes out. He says, and when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first. And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received the denarius. Now, when those hired first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, these last worked only 1 hour. And you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and scorching heat. But he replied to one of them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with that which what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? So the last will be first and the first last. Like Jesus is introducing this idea, like, look, I paid you your due, right? A denarius worth of work, you get a denarius. If a guy only worked 10% of that denarius, but I gave him a denarius, what is it to you that I give that? You got your denarius. Now, you look at that and go, oh, okay. Well, I mean, theoretically that makes sense, but we would be what? Envious. Because in our fallenness, we want more than what we deserve, right? Well, I want not just what I deserve. I want what he got, which is very different, right, than justice. Justice is about the balance. So now 1 Peter 4:8, we go to this. Peter says, above all, when apostles use words like above all, that should, like, orient our radar. Right? To, like, okay, like, this is huge. Keep loving one another earnestly, since what? Love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling, as each has received a gift. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. You know what God is saying? The currency for that debt is love. Because the sin is actually debt. Sin is depicted as debt. Okay? Now, so our job is to go around and covering people's debts. Like, but now, wait a minute. Aren't we then burning coal? Like, if I'm covering their debt because I did something for them, you know what I mean? Isn't that then, you know, like, I'm going to feel really yucky about all that. Let me read you a parable that Jesus stated. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field which man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. So, like, the whole idea, right, is in the Christian life, we're now coming to a place where we come to a place where, like, you know what? I can't cover that debt. I did the dishes, like, the last 10 times. Man, the 11th time, man, like, I need payment. Right? I can't cover that debt. Like, I got him, like, last 5 times. Like, he's not even trying to cover me, man. Like, I don't know. I don't know. He, like, gossiped about me. I don't know. You know, like, you know what I mean? Like, I heard him say bad things about me. I don't know if I can cover that debt. You know? I mean, so Peter then says this, all right? Understanding that covering debt is hard. And love, the currency of love, if it's my love, it's going to be impossible. So in the very next verse, he says this. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. You know what freedom is? When you realize, when you discover, when you thought, right? I don't know if you've ever had this. Like, I thought that I only had, like, a little bit of money, you know, like, and then I go in, you know, and all of a sudden there's like $5,000 that showed up in that bank, you know, like to the government or something. You know, something happened that I did not expect, okay? And I had a lot more money than I actually realized. I can't name a specific instance when that happened, but I remember a scene, I mean, an incident when that was actually true. But the whole point in life, okay, is when you realize, when Jesus ransomed for me, right, not only did he make me neutral, he became my treasure. And the whole point of the Christian life is when you not tap into your own burning from coal, right, but when you go to solar power, right? That's what that is. You're going to solar power, man, right? And you're saying, like, I'm free to do this. Then there's more, you know, and you don't even have to thank me. I'm like Batman. Like, but I never thanked you. Like, and you never will have to. You know, like, you know, because, like, thank Jesus, right? That's the treasure. Now, that discovery is the Christian life. That's the gospel. That's why you're here. Like, you're going from, look, I can't give because I've been down that road. I have limits. The good news is God knows that. God knows you got limits because you're burning coal. But God is saying, man, switch to solar power, right? Go switch to solar power. There'd be more where that came from. And you won't, like, because if they don't cover that debt, you feel oppressed. It's, like, ridiculous. God is, like, saying, like, go and be oppressed. That's what God is saying. Unless you discover freedom. Unless you discover freedom and you discover, wow, I don't have to, like, mess with pennies. I got $1 trillion in the bank. I'm going to pay from that. That's the discovery. Now, if you don't ever discover that, if you go through the Christian life and you never tap into that, like, understanding, like, you're not reflecting glory here, right? You're only emanating your own coal burning. Matter of fact, it's the very prayer of Jesus. that he teaches us. Luke 11, 2-4 says, Father, hallowed be your name. This is what Jesus, hey, how should we pray? Okay, let me just tell you how you should pray. It says, your kingdom come, all right? It says, give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. Notice this, right? The word there, sins, is hamartia, right? To miss the mark, right? It's sin. And forgive us, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Jesus sees indebtedness as sin. It's the same. And so how are people indebted to us? If you got them 5 times, right? And you have to get them for a 6th time. They're indebted to you. But what does that remind you? It reminds you of the treasure. Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Like, if I add up all the times I got them, like, that's like 10 times. That's like $200. Oh, God gave me $1 billion. Right? That doesn't mean that we get rid of that radar. Man, when you get that sense of things, like, that's when you pray. Man, I say, God, like, look, just help me to see your glory. Let me get that in view so that this, when you feel out of balance, whether in a marriage or a friendship or church, you feel a little out of balance. Why do you think you go to pray? Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Part of the Lord's Prayer, man, is this. And this is why we go. This is why we pray. This is like a topic that Jesus wants to pray about. Now, if you don't know how to cover sin, you don't understand, okay, heavenly currency. Love covers a multitude of debts. That's what love does. Love means you cover debt. And you serve people as a ransom, not from your own stores, but from the storehouse of God. And this is how we grow in this. This is God's promise and declaration. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness. Okay, so establishing, that word also synonymous with strengthen, all right? Your hearts blameless in holiness. That's sanctification. Before God and our and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. So what is he saying? Sanctification, why you're here on earth, that you may abound, that you may increase in how you cover down debt and discover the power of love that you receive, right? What did Jesus say? Look, you multiply. Give you 5, you reflect 5. God's not saying you only receive 3. And then when he say, then if you've been faithful in little, then more will abound. Then I'll give you 5, and then you reflect 5, and then I'll give you 10, then you reflect 10. That's the Christian life. What you don't want to end up, right? Like what I don't want to do, right? Man, I know that Bible inside out, but that gives me a license not to be a very loving person. God help you. God help me. Oh, I'm a missionary, you know? Like I'm now in Africa. Okay. But are you growing and abounding in love? Do you understand, okay, how to tap into the treasure house, the storehouse of God? No, I just know how to burn my own fuel. Okay. And then you die. Then at some point you got to ask yourself, are you a lump of coal or are you a diamond? Diamonds reflect, right? John 13:34. Right? This is a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. How? Why is it a new commandment? God never asked of this. He says, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. It's new because prior to Jesus coming on the scene, if you were to love, basically you just be the best coal burning thing, you know, you can be. But if you're going to love the way Jesus loved, you're going to need more than that. But here's the good news. God has given you a new heart, a precious diamond heart. That's what he's done. And you know the song we sang today. Here's the good news. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified. How? That you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. And what is the greatest fruit, right, of the Spirit? It's love. Jesus says that. Paul says that, right? Like, it's love. Now, it's not without the other fruits, right? But it is the greatest commandment. So how is God glorified? You love as he loves, right? Live a life like that. But the thing is, Jesus says, abide in me, right? And realize you can't do this on your own. But if you abide in him and you're faithful to his word, you can do this. It is your birthright. If it seems like, oh, I don't know, that's not me, don't go down that road. Don't convince yourself that's not you, because then that may not be you. Do you know what I'm saying? You don't want to do that. You want to prove that I am a diamond. And you are. But I don't want to relieve the tension for you, thus proving to be my disciples. Go bear fruit. How will they know you're a believer? How will they know you're a disciple? Because I know the Bible in and out? No. How you love one another as he loves. And therein lies the depth. Jesus, I say, look, I'm your home. Right? We're going to do this together. The good news is, like, abide in me, right? Come to me, yoke with me, right? Cast your burdens on me, right? My yoke is light. Come, all who are weary and heavy laden, with busy, you know, taking care of children, and you know, like, find a way. God will help you to. And it's one of these things. Like, if this is the gospel, people are like, well, you don't understand my schedule. You don't understand. I'm like, man, are you saying that God's not going to make a way for the very reason that he sent his son to die on the cross? He's not going to make a way so that you grow in this? Don't talk yourself out of that. You know what I mean? Because that's necessary. Man, if you're married, like, you know, like he was saying, like, yeah, you know, Jeannie's got my back. She's going to help me to grow in this. Right? And the Mark's, of course, you know, you're going to get her back. Right? We're going to do this. We're going to tag team this. We're going to sync team this. You know, we're going to do this. Because this is why we're here. You know? This is the very reason we're alive. And it behooves us to abide in him. Because if we don't, if we're going to do this on our own, by the way, it ain't going to work. Right? But once we discover what it is to go to God, right, pray the Lord's Prayer. God, help me to forgive those who are indebted to us. Okay, as you have forgiven me. He will. I promise you he will. As we grow in our ambitions. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, you know how inadequate I am, Lord. God, you know, God, it's just all the issues that lie before me, before my family, God, before our church. God, we're a stiff-necked people. God, engrossed in our own, God, just mired in our own issues and problems and interests. So, God, just pray now, God, that you would send a torrent, God, a mighty wind of the Holy Spirit to awaken from our slumber. Awaken us, O Lord, and help us, God, to have faith, God, in the finished work of the cross. God, that we would abide in you. God, find a home in you. God, that we would just love you and love those who you bring our way. That we would make it a life ambition, God, to care for one another, to bring others into that oneness. Those who are lost, God. Those who are hurt,
God, those who are without a home, that they may abide in us, and together we would abide in you. God, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.